Good morning, all. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I go to the Lord with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you this morning. We exalt you, Lord. We come to your this church service with a grateful heart, with thanksgiving in our heart. We're thankful, Father, that we have this time set aside to be able to start a brand new week, to start a brand new time and season. So we ask, Lord God, that you would wash us with your word today, that you would anoint the preacher today, later, Father, for the service, and that you would help us, Father, to create a good atmosphere, Father, for your word to come forth in simplicity and power and clarity, Father, and do what it is sent to accomplish. So we bless you now, and we set ourselves at ease this morning, Lord, to look at these scriptures and to have you reveal them to us through your Holy Spirit, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome in, brothers. God bless you. The display is on too, brothers, if you could check that out. But today, if you have your Bibles, you can go to 2 Thessalonians 2. So 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, for opening scripture. And the title today will be Everlasting Consolation. So not just consolation, but everlasting consolation. It's actually a Bible term. It's right there on 2 Thessalonians 2:16. And it is an anecdote to the discouragement. It's not a consolation, but it's an everlasting. Something that will last forever. And it reads in 16, 2 Thessalonians 2:16 through 17. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And this is what, now that I said him, basically, it says Lord Jesus Christ, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Every good word, it says, actually, and work. Let me unplug this thing here and plug it back in. Welcome in, bro. To see if you can, that would do it right there. You know, it's going to be a good service every time there's a little bit of a wiggle. Praise the Lord. Ah, there you go. Thank you. But see how you just have to come up here. Yeah, that's it. Praise the Lord. Everlasting consolation. Yeah. An anecdote to discouragement. So that's the scripture there. Hey, we'll touch later on this, but this scripture, as I was reading it, it's just an interesting thought there. There's two parallel scriptures where it's the Godhead is there as well. Because it says, now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, but then it says, which hath. That doesn't mean have. You cannot use the word if when you're talking about three people, you must have, you use the word have 3,000 times using the Bible. So this saying hath, so that means has him. So it's talking about one person. You know that revelation. Amen. So him, in other words, himself, it says it right there, which hath loved us to one thing and has given us everlasting consolation. That's what it did to you, that revelation. And we'll see the scriptures on it. I want to share a testimony on that, like how I received my eternal consolation and like what it was to me. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, pretty similar the way it reads. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's another word for consolation or counselor or counseling, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. We know the bride is going through her purging time now, right? That we may be able, look at this, to comfort them, our brothers, which are in any trouble. How? By that same comfort. Because it says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Yeah. So see, when you have this eternal consolation that you receive directly from God, you're actually able to impart it to others. You're able to, you know, put that in display, right? For those that will and are ready to receive. And I think it's very important in this day and this age is to have a consolation that you just know where you came, where you are, who you are, where you're going. But just that it's an assurance, the full assurance. We read in one of the scriptures that says that. Brother Branham touched on this word plenty of times, consolation and comfort. But this is my comfort, says in Psalm 119, in my affliction, for the word hath quickened me. Amen. So it's just it's been made alive, and you've been consoled. You've been, you've had that consolation. You know, there's a lot of things. This world is crazy out there. There's a lot of things that we need to have an assurance of. And it's just beautiful to know that this is very real, very tangible to the believer. And at that boat, just to have a consolation that's eternal, that means that's it for as far as that. Spiritually speaking, right? We go through life. We got to go through, you know, hard things in life too. But, I mean, just spiritually to know that you're settled, at rest. Because you've went through trouble and then you've been consoled. But you've been given one that says, here's the one that lasts eternally. Amen. And in this message, Brother Branham spoke on 57. And since I have that assurance by the sworn God of eternity that he will raise me up again in the likeness of his son, in the last day I will walk boldly. That's the effect. And have a consolation and an anchor of the soul, that while I'm in this veil, there is some unseen something got me anchored against that rock of ages yonder. Amen? So it's a surety speaking about, if his eternal has to speak to the soul, right? So that's what the revealed word of the hour does. That's what the Bible itself, when it's been shunned the light of this hour and this message, does this day and this age, as it did in the days just past. Amen. It's the same Bible message. And all scripture is given by inspiration, we know. And our blessed Lord said, the scriptures cannot be broken. So all scriptures must be fulfilled. Even the one that says that there, I will have a bride. The Lord said it. That's going to be fulfilled. Amen. Don't blame people for believing a message that says that you are, I'll call you bride. Because that word must be fulfilled. And all scripture is inspired by God. And, you know, it is true that we all experience it, that things get unveiled at certain times. But it takes a prophet, we know that, right, to activate the revelation for this hour, the same Holy Spirit. It says, what a consolation that is. It is a consolation, by the way, you know, that it says to give we, the people, to give to us, in other words, that read those scriptures, knowing that what we have read cannot be broken. It gives us the most solid consolation, in other words, foundation, to rest our faith on. It's just very sure. That's why it's called eternal consolation. He said in a past tense, he's given us in 2 Thessalonians. And every scripture must be fulfilled. Amen? I found here in Colossians, it says, that their hearts might be comforted or consoled, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance, not just an assurance, of understanding to the acknowledge, this is the Bible, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Yeah. And of the Father and of Christ. It's the same person, right? In whom, see, because it's saying in whom, that means it's a person. Yes. Not in them. In whom, right. You know who that is, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The mouthful right there for those two verses, huh? But talking about comfort, full assurance, mystery of God, in whom? The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to us personally. Amen? Hear ye him in this message. It says that's why we can have such consolation. In other words, that type of consolation, to know that no matter where we are, our condition, what condition we're in, how many can attest to that during the week? Sometimes we go through conditions. One word will bring his presence to us.
Right.
See, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that is even now, I will be there in their midst. Gathering in his name means in purpose. Do remember, names are purposes. So we're gathering his purpose right now. We're gathering it for his sake, right? For him to, for us to love on him and him to, you know, impart his word for us today. That, it says, was the divine promise of the Son of the living God meeting with us. Amen, Emmanuel. In Hebrews it says, 6, the Bible here, wherein God willing more abundantly to show us unto the heir of the promise. Again, skipping to 18, it says that by two immutable things, that it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Right? So it's eternal. It is strong. And we'll read right now that about the consolation of Israel, the Bible term as well. It says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of our soul again, of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which it entereth into that within the veil, right? So talking about the soul and internal, talking about the inner court. So Simeon at the temple, something interesting that I noticed, I was reading a message quote, where Branham tied Simeon in Anna, and I was trying to understand how that worked together. So this is just straight up in Luke 2. If you want to have that there, this would be the last one I'll ask, you know, if you want to flip to scriptures there, because I'll read multiple verses there. Luke 2, starting in 25. Luke 2, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Of course, we know. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. We'll touch a little bit about what that is anyway, the consolation of Israel in multiple ways. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Scripture's perfect how it writes, you know, upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So that's one clue right there. That's the consolation of Israel, right? But we'll see what it does there too. Because, see, Anna was also at the temple. We'll see here after this scripture, actually. So in verse 27, Luke 2, it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is still Simeon. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, in other words, circumcision, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, so this is now him speaking, you know, prophesying, speaking. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to the word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light. See, this isn't just for Israel. A light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. He spoke that word. And this is what we're receiving the effect of that word manifested now. And then it says, and Joseph and his mother, this is when it starts speaking about Anna here soon, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yep, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Isn't that what we saw? You know, the thoughts and the intentions of the hearts being revealed in this day and this age. But see, and then verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and it says, one of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. The Bible says that was a great age, which departed not from the temple, right? But served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in, it says that instant. So it's right after. That instant gave thanks likewise. That means just like Simeon. Unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Right? So see, that was the consolation, right, of Israel. It was the redemption of Israel. The redemption here says of Jerusalem. And we'll touch upon that, how I believe this eternal consolation comes when you've been saved, you know, you've gone through sanctification, but then you really have been revealed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to you personally in the revelation of this day and age, this message, which is the Bible lived out. Amen. A portion of the Bible that has just been kept for this day, just like it was, like the just shall live by faith. It was in the scriptures. I believe it was on the old and on the new, but it was brought to light by, you know, it was revealed strongly to Luther, right? And it was in the Bible, but it was just light that shone on that page that said, this is my day in this age, to quicken this word. And it says all scripture will be fulfilled. So for in order to be eternal, it has to be the word. And I think Brother Branham said, all the word must be fulfilled. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So that's how that ties together, that eternal consolation. And then we have a strong consolation, which becomes a refuge. And then we have the consolation of Israel, which was Simeon prophesied of Jesus Christ to be consolation of thy people Israel. But it actually put in the order that the Gentiles. And then it says light to the people Gentiles and then to thy people Israel. And so... And we see that also with Joshua as a type, where it says, Brother Branham says, and what a consolation that must have been to Joshua when he heard God said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Amen. So it's a consolation to know, of course, that consolation is something that helps you, but when it's eternal, it's got to be the purity of God. It's got to be the fullness of God, that where it's a done work, right? Yeah. And I believe that came when that was opened us to us and revealed to us that I no longer call you church. I call you bride. And that's when, of course, before preparation and after, that's when it all started hitting home to us, to knowing that there is a Bible message that is being opened to us. And we're proof of it. We're living it out, and we're grateful for it, right? Amen. Yeah, concerning Job, he just says, none of them could give him any consolation, right? Talking about his, well, and here it's called accusing, because of his trouble. They were accusing him of being a secret sinner. This is in a message I know. Then in the midst of all that trouble, God came to his rescue. Amen. In other words, God came to console him. Even a consolation for the woman at the well, right? Think about her unrestness that she's had. I mean, she kept on going. She kept on trying. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and was actively on 6. A 6th try, right? Of her, you know, finding the right leader, if you will, the right match. And here's where we find, welcome in, brothers. It is I, be not afraid, in the message, he says, and then he gave that all-sufficient, satisfying consolation. Isn't that beautiful? It's a consolation that was all-sufficient, not just sufficient, but all. And then it was satisfying consolation to that woman and said, I am he that speaks to you. Amen? And just a beautiful imagery there where she really wanted to get consoled, right? But it is just, I am that consolation, right? She found that satisfying. She says, you know, he asked, you know, give me the drink. And then it says, I will give you the drink. Yeah. Amen? Same thing happened with the woman at Sarephath. This is when Elijah went to the widow woman, was sent to the widow woman. But the Bible speaks here in the message of Elijah and the meal offering. And as she turned, he said, oh my, there it was, the greatest consolation that any believer ever listened to. And we have this today, right? For thus saith the Lord, the spoken word of God, right? It says, for thus saith the Lord, that's the word she was waiting for. Thus saith the Lord, the barrel would not go empty, right? Neither will the curse of oil of curse go dry until the day that God sends rain on the earth. Amen. I think we have that promise. Now, for us, the believers, many promises I found in the Bible. But I just want to do a quick testimony here. I remember going through, like, that woman at the well, right? Going through the different phases of my walk and getting as far as I could and saying, Lord, there's got to be more of you, because I've gone through the denominations. I've gone through some of the ages, if you will, in type in my personal walk. And before I have heard of that message, it was really a deep calling to the deep, because I was asking the Lord, it's got to be more, because I already went through this. I went to sanctification. I went to salvation first, sanctification, but here I am still dying spiritually. So to me, it came at a perfect time. To me, and you know, we all have our testimony. You might have sit in a bench all your life, but for me, it was, I was a non-believer. Like an unbeliever, if you will, you can say, as far as then I was raised Catholic, and then I was raised, and then God brought me into, you know, salvation through the Baptist Church. Then I went through the most fiery of all the Pentecostals you can think, apostolic, the different phases, and then all the way to, from the most cold and formal to the most fiery, right? So I know the extremes, and I know that the truth is right down the middle, right? Because we believe in the fire of God, and we also believe in the foundation, right, of the word. And so God threw me to that for a purpose, for a journey. But even then, I was dying. Even then, I spiritually, and physically probably too, I was at the end of the rope. So when this message came my way, it wasn't like, let me see if this is true. It was just like the little boy eating the rubber eraser. I needed that, you know, that he needed something. It was in it. And to me, it was just more like, that's nothing but the truth. It's just like a glove in the hand. And to me, that gave me an eternal consolation. Because I needed healing. I needed the truth revealed. I needed it in a furtherment of where I was. And I can spell them out. I went through a lot of times. I went through, you know, as early as you know, a profession of faith, and then like the real salvation, and then, you know, sanctification and fallen trip, and then you really get sanctified more and more and more. And then you really go into places, and you know, I teach you about the Holy Spirit, right? And then you get it in your flesh, and then your spirit, and then you're doing all things. And then you're still dying. So there's got to be more to that. I could tell you I didn't have that eternal consolation, is what I'm saying. I probably had consolations, but not that eternal one. And we saw it right here that the consolation of Israel that Simeon was waiting on, he said that he was devout and just man. And it looks like they were both always at the temple. You see, because they were there when Jesus came by. And Anna said that as soon as she walked in, she probably just stepped out for lunch or something, because she was fasting and day and night. It says, as soon as she stepped out, she says, in that instant, she likewise also said of him, oh, this is my eyes have seen the redemptions, right? Same thing of Israel. The Lord's Christ, Simeon said. That was the in us, revealed in us, like as we heard in the message, right? So now the God of all patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another now according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, you know, God of all patience. And in other words, he's the God of all consolation, because it says the God of patience and consolation. Psalm 94, when I said my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, help me. Isn't that true? In the multitude of thy thoughts within me, thy comfort delight my soul. It's when you have eternal consolation to run in, to run back into, right? To know that you might be going through things, but if you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, you better have that eternal consolation. So then that's when that comfort delight back to your soul. Amen. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff console me. They comfort me. They're my consolation. Amen. Psalm 71, it says, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort on every side. To be consoled by every side. And here it talks about comforting Israel. I'll skip that because this is similar. It says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like garden of the Lord. And that speaks to you too, when you got your dry desert, and then he makes you fruitful again. Joy and gladness, see, the opposite of discouragement, shall be found therein. This, when you have that consolation, that's how you live. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. In other words, you even get to sing a little bit. Amen. And not talking about emotion, of course, this is when you have a soul consolation or an eternal consolation, that's a spiritual consolation. You see what I mean? That's not you working yourself up. It's just you have that to always rest upon your faith. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comfort all that mourn. Skipping down here, it says that he may be glorified, right? Isaiah 66, it says, and giving a type here, as one whom his mother comforteth. You can imagine a baby, you know, a mother comforting a baby. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem, in his word. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, I will not leave you comfortless. He gave us a promise. And I had many Bible quotes here that we're not going to read, so we stay on time. But even the Holy Spirit himself, right? But the Comforter, you know, the one that consoles, Comforter, will which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall teach you all things and bring all those things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what it does. That's what his word does. That's what his comfort does. Consolation wherewith you were comforted. What a consolation. Brother Branham said the term a lot. What a consolation that this is. And he was always speaking about the revelation of the word. Speaking here about that leaf, that when it goes down in the spring, and it says that that same leaf then goes into the nutrients and comes back up a new leaf in the spring. And he just says, you know, what a consolation that. And it says, it is a testimony of death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. Amen. That it comes back up in the spring again. What a consolation defined, it says here. Again, bringing up that leaf. And here it says, he sent us a messenger with the message, you know, the pillar of fire, vindication, consolation, it says here. And that was your peace. Right? See, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. See? I think Brother Branham used to say the word a lot. See? See? But I think if we would ask that question ourselves, is like, you know, has it been revealed to you? Right? Because I believe it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. And then here he's just saying, see how much he wishes people could see what he was seeing, right? Because that word, when it's light, it comes to life when it's revealed to a person. Yeah. I think we'll stop with this one here. Token. And now he sent down their preparation for it, for the promised land people. He put a dash, so that's a term. Promised land, people. It was only for those who were predestinated to that promised land, bright day. It's just mouthfuls, huh? And how he done it. He sent a prophet with a message, simplicity, right? Identified it by the pillar of fire and gave a token that they could rest assured that it was right. See, that's right. And when that echoes in your life, that message is telling you there's other areas of the scriptures that were sealed unto the day and age. Here you hope. Here you go. That when you know that that's right, that's when you can anchor that soul. Like I said, that's right. It says it was her consolation. Right. I think her is a bride here. And if you've been a partaker of that eternal consolation we read in 2 Thessalonians, I'll skip all the way down to that to read that other scripture there. All right, give me a full cycle there. Give me a minute. I think it's going crazy on me. Hold on. So I just want to share that scripture one more time. 2 Thessalonians 2, as we close. Let's pick it here. Oh, interesting. So let me put it back up. There you go. Every time I do that, I'll read it. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us it everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word. This message points you to a good word. Amen. The old and the new. And work. It says good word. And work. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. And I think that I just wanted to share that testimony that, you know, God has shown that eternal consolation. May it grow in you. May he reveal it to you just as much as he has to some of the brothers and sisters sitting here. And may God bless you this service. Praise the Lord.